Yay, yeah. We're all here. We're in person. This is so crazy.
In Morgan's little backyard with a cricket that's just chirp, chirp, chirping away.
That cricket chirps nonstop. Morning, mid-afternoon, lunchtime,
lunchtime. That reminds me of the new Mulan movie. Have you guys seen it?
No, because you have to pay like $30 to watch it on Disney Plus until like December, I think, is when it...
Yeah, we saw it and it's not worth $30. That's all I'm going to say.
I agree. I started watching it. My parents rented it on Disney Plus and we all share a Disney Plus account. I started it and I'm just like, no, not really? For me. I love Mulan, the first.
It's my favorite. Mine too.
I was so bummed.
They took out the cricket, among other things.
And Mushu, and that was the best.
What, they took out Mushu?
Yeah.
Well, I heard it was not really, it didn't really follow the original. You know, did you guys watch, like, Frozen 2?
I fucking loved Frozen 2.
Did you really? I hated it. I thought it was okay.
Loved it.
Oh my gosh, you guys. I was laughing harder than all the kids in the theater.
Were you drunk?
No! I thought it was so funny. Like, when Olaf reenacts the first movie... Do you remember that? Like,
okay, I only watched it once. Maybe I need to watch it again.
Watch it again.
It.
I just loved it.
I did like Kristoff's 80s power ballad.
Yes, that was the best.
That was quality.
See, and I did not. I remember not enjoying it. I don't remember it that well, obviously, because I don't remember either of those parts. I watched it with Trent, and he was watching it because it was like, you know, about the dam and...
Yeah.
And all of that, and he thought that it was political, like politically driven, which after he explained it to me, like with some natural resource stuff, I was like, oh, interesting. Like, it maybe could have been, was, I don't know.
There's a few things like that, though, even with the first Frozen or other Disney movies that you could kind of see some.
Yeah, like some, maybe some underlying things, which.
That is so, I love people that can just, like, call those things out, because I am so just, like, when I'm watching Frozen, I'm like, cool, this is, like, what it's showing to be. I don't think anything deeper than that. And so when I hear those sayings, I love hearing about it. But for the most part, I did not get any of that.
Same.
And I think that's why I was dying laughing. I am a child, I guess, because I was laughing harder than all the other children in theater. And I didn't think anything deeper than, like, beyond what the movie was.
You know what, though? I already have a date. Like, the second Croods. Did you guys see? It's, like, the cavemen. Anyway,
no.
It's one of my favorite. It's not Disney. I think it's, like, DreamWorks. Or I don't know who it is. Anyway, super cute. And the second one is coming out over Thanksgiving break, so Trent and I are going to go double date with my girlfriend and her husband.
To the Croods.
To the Croods. Like, we're going to be the only adults in the theater.
I love that.
Yes, nice. Assuming theaters are open. I don't know if they are, I guess.
They are, but they're not making any more movies. So it's like, I think some of them are open and they'll show old ones.
Yeah.
But, oh, we should mention, too, for the podcast that we're all in person today.
Yeah, we're here.
And this is the first time this has ever happened. Like, we
not
never
in our lives, just since this podcast.
This is our first time meeting. Very awkward. It's fine.
Yeah, you guys sounded better than you look. In person.
We all look like absolute shit.
Kidding.
Just kidding. We all look super. Morgan looks super,
really
super cute.
Good.
Cody came from work.
Everybody
looks, nice.
Looks so good. Cody looks very professional. Libby, your overalls are killing me. They're
love
so
it.
Cute. With the curly hair, I love it. It's great to be together as
yes.
a trio.
It's so nice. And this is not going to be like any kind of normal because we're on a time crunch because I double booked and I got places to be.
We are on a time crunch, but we also just got back from happy hour. So there's that. We've all had some alcoholic beverages. We're here drinking alcoholic beverages.
Morgan, we didn't really have booze. So Morgan's going to explain what we're drinking because it's weird, but it's tasty.
Okay. So my birthday was about a month ago, and for my birthday, I got a margarita mix, which looks really classy. Mm-hmm. It's, like, in a really cute, like, wine bottle-looking container.
We'll post our pictures.
We'll post it. From my friend. And so before we came here, we're like, what could we drink? And I said, I have nothing besides margarita mix. And Cody said, I have lime gin. And so we combined Cody's lime gin with my margarita mix.
I'm trying to figure out what that underlying
I'm
flavor
getting,
is.
I'm getting like a vanilla taste.
There's
is it
some
vanilla?
Weird stuff going on, and I don't know if it's the margarita mix or your.
It's,
I've never
it's
had
the
that.
Margarita mix because
it's
not that gin. I've
it's
had the
very
gin.
Limey, which
It's and I almost
we put added lime gin with lime, but the margarita mix has a vanilla under.
It's like a smooth. Yeah,
I want to taste it on its own.
Just take a pull of
I
it.
I will like later.
That's probably not typical of margarita mixes. No. I think that's a little different.
You're right. Is it vanilla?
Water, agave, nectar, lime
juice.
Oh,
you know what? It might be the agave nectar, do you think? There's water, agave nectar, lime juice, concentrate, citric acid, and natural flavor.
I don't think so.
Oh, that could be the flavor. Whatever natural flavor.
You know, agave nectar is like, you know, that the afterburn in tequila. What gives tequila its unique flavor is the agave.
Mm.
And I don't, it does not, it's not agave nectar-y to me.
I don't know if you can hear the lip smacking in the
podcast. I went tequila tasting one time, and I'm basically an expert.
That sounds, I want to go tequila tasting.
It was so fun, yeah, when we were in Mexico. I mean, we went, like, on a little tour of, like, a distillery, and then we did a tasting.
I did that, too. I was with my family, and my dad was, like, I don't know, I was probably too young to be drinking. I'm not gonna throw out an age there, but my dad was like,
but in Mexico it's
In Mexico it's fine. My dad was like, want to try this tequila? And I was like, sure. And I had to pretend like it was my first time drinking.
You're like, ooh,
like, I hate it, can I have more?
It burns, but why I want to try nice? Again.
Maybe a different flavor, dad, I don't know.
Like, oh my gosh. But this is really what we should do. We should just go to Mexico.
Oh,
just think down. We could just go for like a week, record an episode a day, really backlog it, have the best time.
I am so in.
Sounds lovely.
Take this show you know? On the road.
Yeah, yes. If only the Rona wasn't running rampant through our lives.
Yeah.
I know.
It's been a freaking shit show.
So today's episode is special not only because we're in person, but because we're going to kind of give some tips, right? Like,
I mean, kind of.
Kind I mean, of in general.
Yeah, we were just like kind of wanted to talk about I don't know. It's just gonna be a conversation about things that we like to do to stay active and to change up, like dinners and our how we eat and things. You know, bringing awareness to when you're like not maybe eating your best or when you're stressed out. I mean, I don't know. It's gonna be like a mod podge of whatever.
I love that.
So on the topic of exercise, I'm excited to talk about this because I feel like my fitness journey, it sounds so cliche and stupid, is different than a lot of people's.
Yeah.
But I just want to like, I want to have an open conversation about it because I think fitness, it's like you see what you see and you feel like you have to do it a certain way, you know?
Yeah. So tell us about your fitness journey.
Well, like for me, so I never did sports as a kid. Well, I did basketball in junior high, but in high school, I didn't do any sports. I wasn't an active kid at all, actually. I didn't really exercise. I always joke, like, I just sat on the couch in high school. And not the healthiest, obviously, not the most ideal. But I also felt, I can remember when I was a kid, there was just a lot of pressure to, like, be sporty and be intense. Mm-hmm. Or if you didn't have a specific sport, you had a workout regimen, you know, you had to go and struggle in the gym and no pain, no gain. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I was like in college that I started like running or going on walks, and eventually more I ended up playing soccer and some sports. I found dance, which was like really fun, a fun activity. But that's kind of my story in a nutshell. And I think a lot of people are similar. If you don't feel like you want to exercise because it's just too intense and crazy, you have to find the thing that you enjoy.
Yeah.
And it might be off the beaten path, you know?
So what do you do like now? What's your kind of your your daily thing?
Now, I mean, I do some strength training. Like, I do a lot of body weight exercises and a lot of like core work. And sometimes I will lift weights, you know, a couple times a week. Sometimes I'll do cardio, and sometimes I'll do dance. But I think the key is you have to have fun moving your body. Otherwise, you're not going to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. If you're dreading it, it's not going to be.
Yeah. And I
it's
think
almost like a punishment, though.
It is. I think when you said, like, no pain, no gain, that's such a common mindset for a lot of people that are trying to get into fitness. And more importantly and a little more scary is that it's a lot of mindset from the people who are promoting fitness, like personal trainers or a lot of like Instagram influencers that are promoting fitness. It's like the workout either has to be super hard and you're supposed to hate it for it to work, or it doesn't matter. And it's so right. it's so false, because like some movement is better than any movement, obviously, and you're more likely to maintain that if it's something you enjoy. Yeah. And so I think that's a super common misconception in the fitness industry.
Yeah, it's like they're promoting this like workout that you're sweating and your blood is pumping. Yeah. And you're miserable and it's 45 minutes nonstop. Yeah. And if you don't throw up, you're not doing it right. And it's like, no, if you throw up every time you exercise, you are doing something wrong.
That's a problem.
And also, I mean, you don't have to, like, movement is just, movement burns calories and it gets your metabolism rolling. And movement's just great. It's great mm-hmm. for any, you know, you're going to sustain muscle mass if you're doing the same movements daily, mm-hmm. right? And you're doing the same kind of repetitive motion or non-repetitive motion, right? And you have to find things that you enjoy, because some people just aren't gym people, and that's totally fine.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Also, people forget about just activities of daily living, like doing your dishes, walking your dog, walking up the steps, you know, going and getting your mail, going shopping. All of those things are mm-hmm. expending energy, and I'm not saying that's going to help you have physical fitness, but mm-hmm. it does, you know, it uses energy, it helps you stay active, and I think there's definitely a relationship between activity and, like, mental health, too.
Totally. Oh. And just the fact that, like, even if you are working out super hard for 1 or 2 hours a day, if you're completely inactive the rest of the day, does it matter that much? Like, I think it's important to be active throughout the day, like, taking the stairs or walking or, like, whatever it is that gets you up out of your seat. Like, that's mm-hmm. just as important as your super intense 1 hour workout that you're doing, if not more important, because it takes up the majority of your day.
That's actually something like that I struggle with, because I go to work and sit in the chair from 8 to 5 mm-hmm. oftentimes.
Yeah.
And it's like you're sitting at the desk, and then I do feel like my body needs that movement and I need to get my blood flowing and be active. Mm-hmm. But then it is, if I go to the gym afterwards, it is kind of like you're going 0 to 60.
Yeah.
But I think that's a really common challenge.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, so I've never had a job in my whole life where I've been sitting mm-hmm. ever. So I grew up on a farm, and it was manual labor. If you got a tractor job, I actually hated tractor jobs because I didn't like just sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
So it was always manual labor. And then when I went to college, I worked at a gym.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was some seat time at desks. But for the most part, I mean, you're walking laps around the gym, you're cleaning, you're doing things. And then I was a bartender, and that's like, I mean, you never sat, super right? active. It was like, I mean, I would like to say that I was super fit while I was at the bar, but to be completely honest, I drank way too much. So I gained classic. I'm not like a lot of weight, but I gained some weight when I worked at the bar because there was like access to fried food. It was delicious. But
yeah. Oh, I remember. I ate the fried food at your
so
bar.
So good. Yeah. Yeah. It was so when good. We all went out, it was so fun. and then, but I mean, but right now, and even at my current job, in a normal day, I can walk anywhere from, you know, 1 to 5 miles in my facilities because I'm up and down, I'm talking to residents, I'm in the kitchen, I'm running around, I'm grabbing charts, you know, and I'm doing all this stuff all day. And so
do you have physical charts? Like paper charts?
Oh, honey. Yes,
what?
I do.
You're kidding.
Yeah, what? Not all of my buildings, but like some of my buildings are half paper, half electronic.
Holy shit.
So it's like the labs and stuff is in the, so yeah, and then I'm packing like 7 because my, you know, as they always do with the dietitians, you kind of get shoved in a closet. So I'm like shoved on an empty nurse's station in a part of the building that is no longer even in use because the census is low. So like it's just kind of shut down. And so, and the charts are at 2 different nursing stations, like in a U essentially, right? And so I have to like walk. And so I'll grab like 5 or 6 or 7 charts at a time, and I'll just, and they're this bit, I'm holding my hand. They're like 6 inches, right? They're a big binder, 6-inch binder full of paper. So I just like do an arm load, and then I like teeter through the building, and I always walk super fast. Like I'm always on a mission. Like I'm there, I'm busy, I got work to do, I want to go home, like get it done.
I feel like Libby, you're like the light, like I think, oh, cut that out.
Yes, you know who.
She would describe dietitians as this like sunshine of bright light that would come into patients' room.
Oh,
yes.
Do you
guys remember that?
Yeah.
I feel like that's you walking around, always in a rush.
Yes.
And you are just like a bright light of sunshine.
Yes. And like, and other yeah. than, other than maybe like the director of rehab, I'm the only one who doesn't wear scrubs, you know, oh, or the yeah. office people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, I'm always in my fun clothes.
Yeah. And talking about food should be fun. It's exciting. Yes. It should be fun.
And they only see always, me like once a week, but I always try and make an effort to really know my residents because I love them. That's my, that's why I do this job. Right. And
yeah.
I got really off topic with this. Moral of the story, usually I'm up, I'm moving, and right now I am working 100% for the most part, except recently from home. And it is absolutely awful. So I work at my kitchen table, I work at my counter, I work on my couch. Couch is probably the most frequent location because my kitchen table is a little too tall. It's like an awkward height between my kitchen chairs and my kitchen table, mm-hmm. and I am like, I get really uncomfortable and my back kills me. Mm-hmm. So I sit on the couch with like a pillow shoved, and but I sit all day long and it is absolutely freaking terrible. So my new thing is like I work 2 hours and then I call a girlfriend or something and I go walk for 20, you know, 15 to 30 minutes depending on my workload that day or whatever. It's always 15 minutes and I go walk a mile or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I come home, I sit down, I work some more, I get up, I do it again.
I love that.
I kind of do that all throughout the day because otherwise I'm just absolutely miserable. I'm so tired, I'm stiff, yeah. my back hurts,
me too.
Whatever.
Yes.
And then, you know, usually I top it off with, you know, I make Trent go on a really long walk or we go to the gym or, you know, and that's, but that's just, you know, my personal preference.
What works for you? Yeah.
It works for me. And in college, I never used to be a gym person. So unlike Cody, I played a lot of sports growing up. So I played basketball and volleyball. Mm-hmm. And then when I was in high school, I played tennis from a really young age. And then I played tennis all through high school.
I didn't know that.
Yes. And I actually was, like, good at tennis. I really enjoyed tennis. It's a great workout. If I could play all the time, I would. I thought about getting, like, a club membership, but it's, like, $300 a month. And I am not that fancy at all. Like, absolutely
that's
not.
That's insane.
That's
so
what,
expensive
how much
in Yakima.
Is that per year,
you could just like... go play at a random court.
Yeah. So there's, like, courts, but I have to have someone to play with. And so tennis, or Trent would go play with me, I think, but he's never played before.
He's not, yeah.
And I want, like, someone who can really, you know, play.
You want
like,
that?
I want to go.
Tennis workout.
Play for 2 hours and just be dragging ass at the end of it. Because
guys,
I was
one of my
and...
friends got his eye taken out by a tennis ball.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, it didn't get taken out, but the ball hit his eye and like damaged his retina.
Can I tell you my favorite tennis story?
Yes.
So when I was a freshman, I made varsity, which was really exciting, right? And I played mixed doubles for a long time. I loved mixed doubles. It was way more challenging because
I don't know what mixed doubles
means. It means there's a boy and a girl playing together.
Hot.
Two on two.
Play with each other.
I'm down. Count me in.
Yes. So it was always, you know, it's a double, so you play two people on either side of the court. And then it's a boy and a girl. And so it's just more challenging because boys hit harder and faster.
Yeah.
They're boys. Yeah. They're stronger typically, right? So it's just I liked it more because it was always a little more interesting and way more challenging. I felt like I grew
that
a lot when I played mixed doubles.
That's cool.
So, but when I was a freshman, I was on varsity. I played mixed doubles. And my partner and I were number two, right? So, like, we were there's always, like, for singles, there's three people. For doubles, there's two. So we were the second team, second string, B team on varsity, okay?
Love that.
We had a great time. But the number one, when we went to, I think it was districts, the number one team was at BPA Nationals. So they gave us their number one spot because they were gone. They weren't there to play. So we just hawked a giant loogie. a neighbor. Anyway, we were playing the number one spot at districts, and we played against, there was always a school, and they would take their number one boys singles and their number one girls singles, and they were always really good, right? If you play singles, typically you're really not a better player, but you're a good player.
Yeah.
So they'd always pair them together, so they're just like a killer team, and they'd always win state. So they always did this, and I'm like playing little freshman Libby, and this guy just, and I, you know, you stand at net, and you just take the balls like they come to you, whatever. I'm just, like, standing there, and I'm just getting drilled all day with these volleys, and it's absolutely awful, and my wrists are killing me because pretty much all I did all day was deflect, right? And, you know, they didn't want me to drop back because they would have just killed us and whatever, so... And then finally, he, like, got kind of lazy, and he gave me this, like, big, beautiful overhead shot, and I was so pissed off at this point because, like, we were losing so bad, and
yeah,
I hurt. He was really desperate. Mean. I mean, he wasn't even, like... trying, because they were going to win regardless, you know? And he just was, like, super mean. Like, yeah. over.
But just kept, like, overly pushing it.
They're like, let's see how much we can
how much
them, we right? Can like, win. We don't want them to get a single point in any set ever. Yeah. And anyway, he, like, gave me this super lazy shot, and I was just so pissed, and I nailed him right in the nuts. And it was the, ooh! He, like, doubled over, and then he backed off the rest of the game. We didn't, I mean, we won that one game the whole time. Out of two sets, we won one game, and it was because I nailed him in the nuts. It was beautiful. I mean, that's it was my, like,
favorite story.
Joy to Libby. I was so happy. It's the proudest thing I've ever and done Libby in my peaked. Whole life. And I peaked as a freshman in high school, and I drilled this guy in the nuts.
Like, I'm happy for you, but also a little in pain.
Yeah, and then when, like, my partner and I broke a girl's knee.
What?
Our senior
tennis
year of high school.
Freaking intense.
Because she was playing on a hurt knee.
Savage.
She was playing on a hurt knee. And so we were just like, all right. So we just kept making her run on her hurt knee. And then they forfeited because... And then my partner broke a girl's nose. Like, we had a
freaking
great time.
Freaking savage. We had a lovely tennis time. Players.
But anyway, yeah. Off topic. All of that was...
But that was really important for the content of this podcast.
Don't be a dick or you get hit in the nuts.
Yeah.
If you're a lady, right in the tit.
Yes, love that. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think in general, I'm not the most qualified person to speak on fitness.
Morgan is, though.
I am, yeah. And I think, too, like, we mentioned already, just figure out what you like doing. If spending an hour or two in the gym is your thing, then that's totally cool too. And I don't want to make it seem like we're not promoting that, because that's totally fine too. But I think a lot of people have a hard time being active because they think the only form of being active looks like what you would see in a gym, lifting heavy weights, doing CrossFit. CrossFit is so mm-hmm. big right now, and it's so intense. And it's just not meant for majority of people because there's so many injuries happening right now around CrossFit.
Oh, really?
Because it's so intense. You're doing such heavy lifting movements,
like,
that your
jump
body
right into
yes.
that.
And a lot of people are, because it's so trendy. And so I think really just figure out what kind of activity you like to do. Don't jump into anything like CrossFit if you're not ready for it. I don't know. Just find out what you like to do.
But it's like diet, where I feel like it's like this all or nothing.
It is. Yes. Totally. And a walk isn't enough. It's like, if I just do a walk or take the stairs or park my car further away from this building and walk, these aren't enough. Because I think it all goes back to social media and what people portray mm-hmm. as being super active or being mm-hmm. super fit. We see these images and we're like, okay, so that's what I have to do. But there's so many different ways to do it.
And I think people think, like, you know, we live in just, like, a country where our focus is always on, like, we work more on average than a lot of developed mm-hmm. countries, which is super interesting to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, our work week is longer than most people's. And I think then, you know, part of that translates over to our health, and, like, I can't focus on exercise because I don't have time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, that's so fair. Like, we are so busy. And mm-hmm. that is when...
Yes.
I have the joy and the flexibility of working a job where, like, I don't work a traditional work mm-hmm. day, you know, and I can take breaks when I want because I just bebop my day around to fit into it.
Yeah.
But if you don't have the luxury of taking a 15-minute break every 2 hours to go on a walk,
mm-hmm.
then that's like what Morgan said. Like, you park a little further away. Instead of ordering your groceries from Walmart, unless you're immunocompromised, like, you go in and you pick it up.
Walk around.
Like, you go walk around the grocery store. You, you know, it's just, like, little things. If it's walking your dog, if it's, mm-hmm. if it's, like, doing, you know, standing up at your desk or getting an exercise ball and bouncing or, you know, there's just, like, so many things.
All of those little, like, activities of daily living are also, I mean, we're dietitians, so we focus on nutrition. But, honestly, it's so intertwined with the rest of your mm-hmm. life. And all of those... Are they the social determinants of health? Like, all of those things are contributing to your overall wellness. And if you're going to address nutrition, you have to address those as well. Like, how often are you going grocery shopping? What's your access to food? What's your activity level?
Yeah. Mental health, huge.
It is.
Mental health is so connected.
It's overall health,
more than ever.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I mean, besides, I think a lot of people, when you think of physical activity and exercise and working out, you think, a lot of people think about calories burned, like, am I burning enough calories to make up for, like, the food that I'm eating?
Yeah.
But beyond the calories that you're burning and the actual motions itself, like you said, standing up at your desk rather than sitting, from an exercise science standpoint, because that's my background, when you're sitting, your body is in a different position. Like, your hips are flexed, your neck is probably strained forward. When you're standing, your hips I'm like adjusting flexed. My posture. They're straight.
Yeah. Me too. I straightened up.
They're straight, but having your hips flexed for 8 hours a day, that causes actual problems in your anatomy. Like, that can make changes to your body when you actually are standing. Like, all these things affect more things than just burning calories. Like, it's just really important to think about what you are doing for most of the hours of the day rather than sitting for 8 hours a day working out for 30 minutes or an hour. I think it is
right.
Huge.
And then,
just
you go home, it's like, sometimes I'm the same way, like I have a workout and then I'm like, all right, I'm done.
Yes.
And I think it drives Trent a little crazy because I like to walk everywhere. Like, if I could just walk everywhere, if there were unlimited hours in the day and I could walk to all my locations, I would love to. Yeah. So like, if we go out for dinner and we're in town, I always make him walk. And then, like, if we go to the gym, even, because we live close enough, that I'm like, what if we ran to the gym, we worked out, and then we walked home,
like a little cool down.
Yeah, and it's like that thing of, well, one, he works like a normal person job where he's out all day, and so he's like, I kind of want to like go home and relax.
Yeah.
And I get that, right? But and a lot of days it's the same thing, right? I'm like, I just don't. And I think partially because I'm stuck in my house all day, so I'm like, get me out of the house for as many hours as possible. Like,
yeah.
So it's just such a, I don't know. It's
everyone's
so hard
different.
To,
you have to find that.
Yes.
Yeah, find that balance. I know a lot of places, like if you do have a more sedentary job, like I said, I sit in a chair for 8 hours. I don't really. I'm going between units. I'm walking around the floor, mm-hmm. like visiting patients' rooms off and on. So it's not like I'm totally trapped in a chair.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like for a large majority, I am. So for me, at the end of the day, I do need a little bit more motion. I need to, like, wake up physically. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's hard to have a job where you're sitting all day. And I think for a majority of Americans, that's what our jobs are.
Absolutely.
I'm sitting at the computer. I am not your traditional dietitian where I'm seeing patients all day. My work is done on the computer. So I'm at the computer most of the time. Luckily, I work for a company that encourages us to be active. So a lot of our meetings, if it were not for COVID, would be in the foothills behind our building, and we'd be hiking and having our meetings while we walk.
Oh, that is so cool.
It's so cool.
Really?
And they encourage us to get up and move throughout the day. And most people on their lunch breaks will go work out. Like today during my lunch break, I worked out, and it's just so encouraged by our company to be active. And I'm so grateful for that. But I think for most people, that's not how it is, and it's a struggle because when I'm sitting for most of the day, when I'm super busy, I don't do the walk break, I don't work out on my lunch, I mm-hmm. work through it. And so I totally get that, and I think for most people that's probably how it is, and it's hard.
It's so hard. Yeah.
And then I just
hear so many parallels with that and like taking the time to eat, for example.
Yeah
absolutely.
And I think for a lot of people, when you sit for that long, you're exhausted throughout the day. By the end of your work day, you don't want to work out because it's exhausting to sit for that long.
And you work till 6 p.m., so you got to eat dinner. And it's like, what, are you going to go work out at 10 p.m.? Or
it's hard.
And that, I mean, again, like any sort of movement is better than
exactly.
no movement. So,
yeah.
Right. Well, and even like standing desk, did I already mention that?
Yeah.
No, did you?
Yeah.
Someone did. I don't know who.
It was probably me. But most places will accommodate if you request a standing desk because they're saying sitting is like the new smoking.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a little bit more awareness around it.
Yeah.
And even if you're standing, I mean, it's like you're holding up your weight. It's like isometric contractions, right?
Yeah. To have like I love the like stand sit desks. So you
that's
have their
nice.
Like on a little lift and you just like pop them up, pop them down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
my high school art teacher, it's so funny that I just remembered this, which long story short. So I was super close with my high school art teacher. I originally started college as an art student.
That's right.
Are you artistic? Like, do you draw and stuff?
I'm artistic. I don't tell people that because then I'm deemed as the creative, like Claire.
Mm-hmm.
We can bleep that out. But everything creative she had to do, like any drawing, any painting,
like
anything.
It all got put on.
Yeah.
Her.
So I've learned that throughout my years. So I just don't tell people that I was ever an art student. Super into art. I draw. I paint. I do ceramics. I was teacher aide for my art high school
cool.
teacher. Thank you.
It's like I don't know Morgan at all.
Anyways, I was super close with him. We would just hang out in the little back art studio and we would do ceramics. And we got pretty close. And I remember him telling me he would make all of his students stand during class. And he's like, you burn twice as many calories when you're standing versus sitting. Don't know if that's true or not to this day.
But it like resonated.
At that time, we were all just like, cool, let's all stand. And it worked for us at the time. But also another side note, my high school art teacher, before I went to college, I was in his class for like teacher's aid. And he tried to convince me to go into nutrition instead of art. Is that not crazy? And so I went into college and I was like, yeah, cool, whatever. And he...
It wasn't open this whole time.
Oh yeah, it's still going.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's okay.
My phone always like leaves it up. It doesn't close.
Mine too.
Yeah.
Okay, and we're about out of time and I'm almost done with the story. So he tried to convince me to go into nutrition instead of art. And at the time I was like, whatever, I know I want to do art. I was so set on it. And so I was just like, cool, I'll consider that. I went into art for the first 2 years of my college career and then eventually switched to exercise science and then did my master's degree in nutrition. And it's just so crazy that in high school, he tried to get me to go into nutrition. And I was just...
He knew you whatever. So well.
Wow. Yeah.
That's wild.
And back in high school, I was not interested in nutrition. I really didn't care.
Wow.
It's so crazy. But anyways.
That's crazy. Well, Morgan, I'm curious about your kind of like movement, exercise journey,
so
the cliche.
Mine's a little different because I was involved in athletics always throughout high school, always throughout middle school. I was in a pretty active family / athletic, maybe not always active, but a fairly athletic family where all of our fun gatherings always included a softball game or a football game or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was always pretty active. And then in college, I joined a lot of intramurals and I worked out all the time. I was in the exercise science program. It's always been for me such a huge part of my life. So now that I'm not in school anymore and not in that environment where it's so encouraged to be super active, I think I'm still figuring out that balance of being active to where it's making me feel mentally good and physically good and whatnot without being too much. Because I think for the majority of my college career, at least, it's been such a huge part that it's maybe too much. So still figuring out that balance. But
Yeah.
Which is a fine one to have, you know?
Yeah, like that's true. It's not the worst thing. I mean,
and if your whole life is the gym and that is what you want to do, mm-hmm. then great. But, like, you are such a social person and you have so many friends and, like, finding a balance of, like, being able to socialize with people in a normal way mm-hmm. and then not being at the gym for 3 hours a day or, you know.
Exactly. And you know what? Looking back on my earlier college years when I was in exercise science and I think probably had an unhealthier relationship with food and exercise, I would actually skip class to go to the gym. If I couldn't fit,
oh wow.
If I couldn't fit the gym in my daily routine, I would skip class because that it was a higher priority for me than class.
Wow.
Not promoting that. I am saying that's my unhealthier phase of my relationship with exercise, but at that time, it was such a priority for me that if I didn't get the gym every day, then I would skip my class to go to gym.
Oh, well.
I think that's just like, because I've talked to people who, you know, just the obsession with wellness, whether it be healthy eating or exercise,
mm-hmm.
it can get to a point where you just don't, you're willing to give up other things in your life. Like, I've talked to people that are like, oh, because I'm like, if you go to the gym all the time, you might be giving up a social life. You know, you can't spend that quality time with your friends. You can't mm-hmm. just enjoy like being spontaneous and having a random day. And they're like, oh, I don't care. I'm willing to give that up. And it might be the same thing if you're really obsessed with healthy eating, because eating is a social thing.
Yeah.
And some people are like, no, I'm going to go on keto. So I can't go to a party because there's cake and I can't resist it. And I'm like, once you start giving up these
mm-hmm.
pleasures of life, I think that's a red flag. Like, I think it's totally awesome to have goals and like be really passionate about something, whatever it is. But it's worrisome. I just think we need to be really honest with ourselves if it's getting to that point.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. And I do think, too, looking back on that time and then comparing myself now to then, I think a lot of the motivation behind going to the gym and eating super healthy and all of that is based on appearance and body weight and all these things. And looking, mm-hmm. if I had to compare those things to how I am now to how I was then, I would say it's not a huge change. Like, all the time that I put into the gym and all the time I put into, like, analyzing my food back then, there's not that much difference between how I am now and then. It's just a lot less stress. I'm a lot happier. I feel a lot less guilty eating what I want to eat and doing what I want to do versus going to the gym. And so...
Well, there's nothing wrong with self-improvement, right?
Exactly.
It's just like we talked about with Becca. It's all about your intention.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. Totally. It's just interesting.
I hate to be this person, but
you gotta go.
I got places to be, people to see, tacos to eat.
Oh, tacos.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Yes, that's what I ended up ordering was tacos.
Well, that was so fun. I'm so glad we got to all talk together. Yeah. That was mostly just a fun little chat for us about physical activity, but I liked it.
Maybe more. I mean, I think we could talk on that for a minute.
I think
so. Maybe we'll just carry it over next week or later this week or whenever we decide to jump in and chat.
Cool. Yeah. Down for that.
Awesome. All right.
See you next week.
Ciao, ciao.
Thanks for joining us on Dietitian Power Hour. This is Libby.
I'm Morgan.
And I'm Cody.
We drop episodes every Tuesday night.
Find us on Instagram at Dietitian Power Hour Pod, and you can also follow us on Spotify.